from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
Hello, VOI listener. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz and RRI Digital Mobile App.
Listener hears the news read by Steve. First, the headlines. Minister Yusril Issa Mahendra affirms repatriation of foreign prisoners stays unbiased. Supreme Audit Agency and Law State Audit Organization signed Bilateral Cooperation Action Plan for 2025-2026. And here is the news in detail. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Law, Human Rights, Immigration and Corrections Yusril Issa Mahendra asserted that the repatriation of foreign prisoners recently carried out by the Indonesian government to several countries is not looking at the type of criminal offense. He said the repatriation was carried out based on humanitarian principles because the types of sentences given by Indonesian courts to these foreign prisoners were life imprisonment and death sentences. Minister Yusril told Antara in Jakarta on Wednesday that until now, there are three countries that have requested the transfer of narcotic offenders to Indonesia, namely Philippines, Australia, and France. He said the Philippine government requested the transfer of death row inmate Mary Jane, then Australia requested the transfer of five life convicts member of the Bali Nine, and France requested the transfer of death row inmate Sergio Atlawi. The transfer of Mary Jane have been approved by the Indonesian and Philippine governments with several conditions. While the transfer of Bali Nine convicts is under discussion regarding the condition proposed by Indonesian government. Meanwhile, the transfer of Serge Atlawi is still in the process of waiting for the arrival of the French government to discuss the agreement. The Supreme Audit Agency and the Law State Audit Organization of Law People's Democratic Republic signed a bilateral cooperation action plan for 2025-2026. The collaboration was carried out when the Law State Audit Organization paid a high-level visit to the Supreme Audit Agency to strengthen bilateral relations and various experiences in state financial governance. Chairman of the Supreme Audit Agency Ismail Yatun in an official statement in Jakarta Thursday appreciated the good relations that have existed between the two institutions since the signing of the Memorandum of Understanding in 2015. She also thanked the Law State Audit Organization for its support for the Supreme Audit Agency's candidacy as a member of the United Nations Board of Auditors for 2026-2032 period. The Ministry of Tourism is strengthening infrastructure development with the central and regional governments by implementing the blue, green, and circular economy concept and strengthening inclusive and sustainable tourism promotion. This was stated by the Ministerial Expert Staff for Business Development of the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Dadang Rizky Radman, in an official statement in Jakarta Thursday. During the pre-national working meeting of the tourism held in Jakarta Wednesday, Dadang said that a strengthening destination is an important factor in concept of the National Medium-Term Development Plan and the Government Work Plan in achieving 80% growth Responding to this, the Deputy for Waste Management and Hazardous Toxic Waste of the Ministry of Environment, Vinda Damayanti, said tourism area managers are encouraged to actively channel the nearest waste bank so that it can be managed and recycled optimally. Indonesian Minister of Industry Agus Gumiwang Kartasasmita said he was discussing incentives and stimuli for industry players related to the increase of the provincial minimum wage by 6.5%. In Jakarta on Thursday, quoted by Antara, Minister Agus Gumiwang said an example of incentives that have been discussed by his side is related to the automotive sector, namely provision of stimulus for luxury goods sales and the government-borne value-added tax, which will be given not only to electric vehicles. Minister Agus Gumiwang also revealed that the reason for the government to raise the minimum wage is to increase people's purchasing power so that it needs to be done. Previously, the Ministry of Industry stated that industry players would make adjustment related to the new rule of a 6.5% increase in the minimum wage set by President Prabowo Subianto. The United Nations urged Taliban authorities to reconsider the implementation of restrictions on women and girls' access to medical training in Afghanistan, a spokesman for the UN Secretary General Stephane Dujarric said on Wednesday. Media reports said the Taliban ordered private and public institutions to stop providing medical courses for women and girls. He said the regulation would have a detrimental impact on Afghanistan's healthcare system and development. More than 1,000 scientists, mainly psychologists and neuroscientists from across the globe, signed an open letter calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. The letter also urged the international community to pressure the Israel regime to comply with humanitarian law. Nobel laureates May Brett Moza and Edvard Moza of Norway and Susumu Tanikawa of Japan signed the letter, Iran's IRNA news agency reported, citing several media outlets on Thursday. A number of Spanish researchers such as Pablo Naniño, a member of the Neuro Artificial Intelligence and Robotics Group at the Kajal Institute, also signed the letter. The letter also condemned the violence, including countless war crimes committed by the Israel regime in the isolated Palestinian territories, warning that without international pressure, the violence will continue. Still related to Palestine, Palestinian and global doctors have called for a humanitarian corridor for the Gaza Strip to be open for the emergency evacuation of 25,000 patients to hospitals in East Jerusalem. Request was made at a press conference at Augusta Victoria Hospital in East Jerusalem on Tuesday amid a humanitarian crisis caused by Israeli military aggression that has paralyzed most medical facilities in the Palestinian enclave. Quoted by Antara from Dadalu on Wednesday, the doctor said about 25 people in Gaza need urgent medical treatment to save their lives. They proposed 3 important steps to address the crisis. First, opening safe evacuation routes for patients to hospitals in East Jerusalem, the West Bank, or the third countries. Second, guaranteeing that families can accompany patients during treatment. And third, ensuring patients' right to return to Gaza after treatment without being forced to choose between their health or their homeland. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian Students Association of the Open University Penang Study Group organized the Indonesia-Malaysia Chapter 3 Cross-Cultural Festival in Georgetown, Penang on Sunday. About 200 Indonesian students from several universities in Malaysia participated in the festival. The festival was held to introduce Indonesian cultural arts to the general public. Reported by Antara, the activity began by presenting a number of performances. These included the night dance, Roro Jonggrang theater performance, tortor dance, and angklung performance. The festival was also interspersed with consular and immigration socialization from the Indonesian Consulate General in Penang, as well as fashion show competition that received support from those who attended. Desi Nurfadila, chairperson of the Indonesian Students Association of the Open University Penang Study Group, said that this time they deliberately invited the Komtar State Invitation Council (ADUN) Teh Lai Heng because they wanted to show Indonesian culture. The hope is that this festival can be an entry point for them to be able to invite fellow Malaysian students to join together to preserve shared culture through cross-cultural festival activities. Indonesian Consul General in Penang, Wanton Saragih, appreciated the Indonesia-Malaysia Cross-Cultural Festival. According to Wanton, they who are Indonesian migrant workers, as well as students at UT, still have the enthusiasm and motivation to hold the Indonesia-Malaysia Cross-Cultural Festival, which this year is already the third time. Therefore, the Indonesian Consul General in Penang provides best support for the implementation of the festival. Meanwhile, the Komtar State Invitation Council ADUN expert Teh Lai Heng, who attended the festival, expressed his admiration because the activity was carried out thanks to good cooperation with various universities in Malaysia. He hopes that the event can be continued next year with more festivities by adding Malaysian culture so that the relationship between the two countries will be more intimate. Besides being attended and opened by ADUN Komtar Teh Lai Heng and Indonesian Consul General Penang Wanton Saragih, there were also the Director of Medan Open University Yasir Yadi, hundreds of UT Pokjar Penang students who are also Indonesian migrant workers in Penang, as well as communities and representative of Indonesian community organizations there. We begin today in history with the commemoration of Indonesian Fleet Day. Indonesian Fleet Day is commemorated every December 5th. The Fleet of the Republic of Indonesia is a unit of the Indonesian National Army, which is responsible as the Navy Fighting Force. On December 5, 1959, the Chief of Staff of the Republic of Indonesia Navy, Sea Commodore R.E. Martadinata, inaugurated the formation of the Indonesian Fleet Command Organization. Based on the decree of the Chief of Naval Staff Number Skep 1987, dated November 17, it is stipulated that every 5th December,
is commemorated as an Indonesian Fleet Day. Let's move on to the next event on the commemoration of the International Volunteer Day. International Volunteer Day is celebrated every December 5th. On December 17, 1985, the United Nations General Assembly designated December 5th as the International Day of Remembrance for Volunteers. The day is celebrated in order to honor and appreciate the contribution of volunteers to humanitarian activities around the world. International Volunteer Day is also celebrated to raise awareness about the important role of volunteers in the achievement of sustainable development goals at local, national, and international levels. We entered in history with the commemoration of the World Soil Day. World Soil Day is commemorated every December 5th. World Soil Day is celebrated as a means to campaign for the importance of maintaining healthy soil ecosystem and sustainable management of soil resources. The UN General Assembly designated December 5, 2014 as the first World Soil Day. This date was chosen because it coincided with the birthday of the Thai king Bhumibol Adulyadej, who was one of the main supporters of the World Soil Day commemoration initiative.
Hentikan air matamu, Mama. Bila ternyata harus putus sekolahku dan ku pilih gaya hidup yang tiada pernah indah di matamu, tak mampu ku mengampuni diriku, Mama. Bila ku cerna harunya arti doamu yang kau panjatkan untukku saat ku bawa diriku semakin dalam tuk terjatuh. Bila ku tak pernah sanggup untuk bangkit dari kegagalan yang tak seharusnya kau sesali, karena kenyataan hidup yang aku jalani tak seindah saat ku dengar engkau bernyanyi. Peluklah lelah jiwaku, Mama, yang terluka di penjenjangi dunia. Hanya kasihmu yang mampu lindungi lama hatiku yang tak sekuat. Sanggup untuk bangkit dari kegagalan yang tak seharusnya kau sesali, karena kenyataan hidup yang aku jalani tak seindah saat ku dengar engkau bernyanyi. Peluklah lelah jiwaku, Mama, yang terluka di penjenjang. Yeah.
aku sebuah rasa benci. Biarkan kasih lembutmu sentuh hatiku. Ubah aku jadi buah hati yang
listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Deputy Minister of National Development Planning or Deputy Head for National Development Planning Agency Bappenas, Febrian Alfianto Rudiart, stated that the acceleration of green economic transformation requires a reform of ecosystem policies to be more conducive. In the National Dialogue on the Acceleration of Green Economic Transformation held virtually from Jakarta on Tuesday, Febrian said, the conducive ecosystem policy reforms, especially in priority sectors and value change, must be in line with climate targets, improving environmental quality, biodiversity, and the circular economy. One concrete example of this ecosystem is the renewal of the Indonesian Standard Classification of Business Fields and the adoptions of international standards for the circular economy as the Indonesian national standard. According to Febrian, green investment would encourage more industries and micro, small and medium enterprises to apply sustainable principles by not only relying on government funding, but also receiving catalysts from various innovative funding sources. He also highlighted the importance of strong orchestration to build collaboration between parties. In addition, technological knowledge and experience transfer are needed to ensure that the green transition is inclusive and sustainable. Febrian Alfianto added that to achieve the vision of Golden Indonesia 2045, an economic transformation is needed and implemented through a shift in the economic structure from less productive sectors to more productive sectors, and a shift in productivity across sectors. In economic transformation, a green economic strategy is applied, namely an economic model that supports sustainable development with a focus on greener investment and capital accumulation, green infrastructure, and green jobs. All of these strategies, according to Febrian, are directed at realizing social welfare and environmental sustainability. The achievement of Golden Indonesia for the implementation of green economy is projected to be able to contribute to economic growth up to an average of 8% by the end of the 2025-2029 National Medium Term Development Plan period. In addition, it is also expected to achieve the net zero emission target 2060 or sooner. Bappenas has compiled a Green Economy Index, or IEH, which has become an imperative indicator for local governments. IEH consisted of 15 selected indicators used to monitor the achievement of green economic activities throughout Indonesia. According to Febrian, this model emphasized green investment, environmentally friendly infrastructure development, and job creation that supports environmental sustainability.
Sejak kemarin hatiku tak karuan, membayangkan beberapa kemungkinan. Apa yang bisa terjadi jika gagal kali ini? Sederetan petuah para sahabat telah aku pelajari dengan cermat. Tapi aku juga tahu nyaris nihil peluangku. Untuknya aku beranikan diri. Rencana berbahaya ini tak bisa aku tunda lagi. Meskipun kesempatanku satu banding seribu, biar aku hadapi.
selalu setia kapan pun dibutuhkan. Tak juga dia menyadari isyaratku selama ini. Tuhan tolonglah, dia bodoh sekali. Rencana berbahaya ini tak bisa aku tunda lagi. Meskipun kesempatanku satu banding seribu, biar aku hadapi. Kerjasamalah, jangan gemetar nanti menggenggam tangannya.
Rencana
Thank you for joining us, the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next, we present information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom on Indonesian Wonder.
Bengkulu can be one of your tourist destinations. This province on the island of Sumatra has many interesting tourist attractions to explore. One of the most popular is Panjang Beach, which means long beach. The beach, visited by many local and international tourists, offers a stunning views of white sand and crashing waves. It is strategically located about 3 kilometers from Bengkulu city center, which is about 15 minutes of travel. As its name suggests, Panjang Beach has a white sandy beach that stretches up to 7 kilometers. The beach does not have coral reefs, so its width can reach up to 500 meters at low tide. To enter this beach, you only need to pay for parking. Once you enter Panjang Beach, you will see rows of cypress and pine trees, making this Bengkulu beach different from other beaches usually dominated by coconut or palm trees. Panjang Beach has calm water and waves, make it safe for those who want to swim, surf, play in the water, or fish. Its fine white sand is perfect for jogging or a refreshing morning walk. The beach is also an ideal place to relax or enjoy the beauty of the sunset. Pantai Panjang is famous as a camping site at night. but hotels or cottages are also available for those who want to stay.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Because I'm happy. that's what you want to do.
You are still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present to you Miscellany.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, ASEAN Microsoft President Andrea Della Matea said artificial intelligence technology has the potential to contribute more than $366 billion to Indonesia's gross domestic product by 2030. However, the lack of skills and talents in digital technology and AI is still the biggest challenge in the effort to capitalize on this potential. Therefore, Microsoft, along with the Ministry of Communications and Digital Presence, an initiative to connect organizations, academic institutions, and agencies to build the capability and capacity of human resources in the field of digital technology and AI. The initiative is the Elevate Indonesia program. Last Monday, Elevate Indonesia was launched by the Ministry of Communication and Digital in collaboration with Microsoft Indonesia. Elevate Indonesia is an initiative to equip 1 million Indonesian talents with the AI skills needed to capitalize on the opportunities presented by the technology. The Minister of Communication and Digital Affairs, Miltia Fiada Hafid, hopes that the Elevate Indonesia program can increase young people's understanding and ability to utilize AI technology. The implementation of Elevate Indonesia partners from government, industry, educational institutions, and communities will be involved to connect Indonesian talents with new opportunities presented by AI in terms of productivity, creativity, quality of work, and innovation. With a target of 1 million AI skills for Indonesians, Microsoft will divide it into 5 main initiatives to prepare government agencies themselves to focus on encouraging national AI skills, integrating AI into national industries, preparing AI in skills in educations, improving AI skills for communities, and democratizing AI for individuals. In each of these pillars, the focus is not only to learn or upskilling, but also on how to identify crucial problems or challenges, and opportunities and how to use international knowledge and AI to solve these problems.
Wujudkan mimpi.
you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequency 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, we are about to play a song by Nugi. Agustinus Gusti Nugroho, or Nugi, is an Indonesian actor and singer. He released a trilogy entitled Bumi or Earth in 1995, Air or Water in 1996, and Udara or Air in 1998. One of his best hits was Pelukis Malam, or The Night Painter. The song Pelukis Malam is about a human amazement over the nature created by the creator. The song also reminds us the humans are so little compared to planet Earth and the heavenly sky that is full of shining moons and stars. Listener, here is Nugi with Pelukis Malam. Enjoy listening to the song.
Dalam kabu, wahai malam. Voice of Indonesia.
Terlepas dari mauku, ku terima kapal baru, berharap akan jadi sesuatu. Tapi ternyata dia pergi, lalu ku sendiri lagi, berharap apa lain tak begini. Memulai saja sudah berat bagiku, apalagi harus mengakhiri.
Of Indonesia.
And sing. If one day you lose your fall. And just pick yourself up and sing. If one day you lose your way, just remember one thing, my friend. When you're under the cloud, just raise the music and sing. If one day you lose your way, just remember one thing, my friend. When you're under the cloud, just raise the music and sing.
Chin up.
And don't you give up.
Well, keep your chin up.
Keep your chin up and be happy.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kata-kata
my listener, thank you so much for listening the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Send your feedback to our email voilisteners@gmail.com, voilisteners@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.